First John chapter 1, I think this is the third time we're together in this passage. Just trying to take a journey from the scriptures. It says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for this scripture you've given us. Help us now that our eyes and our ears might be open spiritually. We might hear, we might see what you have for us. That we could receive it for what it is, the word of God, like those at Thessalonica. That we might also be like those who are more noble in Berea. We might receive it, but we might take it with us. We might search the scriptures daily to make sure these things are so. God, there's a confidence that comes in our lives when we search the scriptures for ourselves and we know what it says. That confidence is then displayed in how we live our life according to the word of God. Help us, we pray, in the next few minutes together in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've said it a couple of times now in the book of 1 John here that John is sharing what he witnessed firsthand. And it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around, but these men, this being the last apostle remaining, sat with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have lunch here after a while, and we're all going to sit around and talk and just eat. John did that with the Lord. We've only ever read about him. We've only ever heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, I know what it is to have slept under the same roof with him. He had a front row seat to the life and the ministry, the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John is saying, I'm going to pass on to you, believers, what I've experienced. John said, this isn't something we read. It's not something we heard about. I enjoyed personal fellowship, a communion and a partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. And John said, I want to take those truths and give them to you that you might have that fellowship with us, with Christ as well. And one of the quotes he keeps using in this book is, these things have we written unto you. And he goes down through chapters 1, chapters 2, chapters 5, and he's using these phrases. And he said, I'm writing these truths to you so you might have fullness of joy, freedom from sin, and faith in eternal life. And as we go through it, we're seeing all those things, our fullness of joy, our freedom from sin, and our faith in eternal life are all tied together. They're inseparable because they are all linked, they are all related to our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to our walking in light. If I am living bound by sin, not free from sin, I'm not fellowshipping with the light. If I am living bound by sin, not free from sin, I begin to doubt my salvation at times and have struggles with eternal security. All of these things are tied together. We said the danger is we tend to want what the light can provide without walking fully in the light. And only you know what is in the shadows, the recesses of your life and your mind, your memory, things that people don't know, places that people don't get to visit, including yourself at times. We know what's hidden in the shadows and the darkness. We say, well, I can enjoy the benefits of the light without being fully in the light. John said, you're deceiving yourself because you're always going to stray further and further from the light. The darkness, as we view it in our minds here about life, it seems safe. It's concealing. It helps things remain hidden. John's trying to show us that darkness is deceiving, that it is insanity. It deludes the mind about God, about self, and about others. We know what's there. Took a walk yesterday with a rifle, see if I could find something in the snow to shoot at. Didn't happen, but I said, Lord, give me a visual aid to be able to use for the service. And he said, I did. It's all over the ground. And I don't know how many of you have stuff at your house, in your yard, that you don't need or don't want, or it's not in its proper place. And you look out like three days ago when it snowed, and you see trash there, bottles there, toys there, cars there, this there, and then it snows. And people can go by your house and say, what a beautiful yard. What an immaculate house. And you're just hoping that they look at the house, they buy the house, before the sun comes out and melts the snow. And then they see a diaper that fell out of the dumpster over here and scooters that belong to who knows who over here. I think they're the layman's, but we stole them. We still have them. They're under the snow now. And now we put them in a safe place. And they go out back in the yard. We burned our brush and our trash and ruined the backyard probably. And once the sun comes out and the light heats things up and it all melts, it reveals what's truly there. That is what irritated the early religious leaders in Jesus' days. It's why they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and why they attacked the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not refuse the living word of God because it contradicted itself. They refused it because it contradicted them. They got used to living an external shell of a life. That shiny white wall, if you will, that fresh blanket of snow upon their life, because on the outside they were conformed to every letter of the law. They didn't eat certain food, they didn't wear certain clothes, they tithed on everything, including their vegetation. And the light of the world stepped into the world he made and said, let me show you what the spirit of the law says. And what it did is it exposed the religious crowd that they weren't clean, they only looked like they were. And they had pretty walls put up. Jesus even said, they're white. They're nice and shiny. From the outside looking, you say, look at that religious person. And he said, just inside that white wall is death and disease. And we're talking about that journey into light. For some of us, maybe the first time in our life where we completely step into the light and let the light reveal whatever is there about God, about ourselves, and about other people, and agree with God, or we remain in darkness. We ought not just be satisfied, I am, but with our yard looking a certain way and junk being everywhere, as long as there's snow on top of it and nobody knows. Because the light's always going to, or eventually the light is always going to manifest what is there. So what is this journey into light? What is the light? It tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Goes on to the end of verse number 6. Walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. You take these words together about light and truth. And God and the illuminating light that God is referring to here, I believe in the scriptures, would be just that, the word of God. Truth is light. And John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It says this, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light is truth. Truth is God's word. Over and over again, multiple times in this one little book of five chapters, he says, these things have I written unto you. So what are you saying? God's word holds the answers. Now I know we grew up, many of us, in Sunday schools and junior churches maybe, if we had that privilege of being saved at a young age and coming up in church and you hear, you need to pray, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray, you need to read your Bible. And we grew up with this mentality, let's check the box of the prayer list for the day. Let's check the box that I read some scripture today without fully comprehending or believing the cleansing, healing properties of the Word of God. God's Word holds the answers. God's word is the light that shines upon a heart, shines upon a life, upon the mind, and is trying to dispel the darkness, that what is there can be revealed and made right. James says the danger for the believer is to pull up to the mirror. You flip the light on so you actually see yourself in the mirror and say, "Boy, I don't like what I see." And some of you, that should be your response. "Boy, I don't like what I see." That's how I respond to a mirror. "I don't like what I see." And James said, here's the temptation of the flesh. Just shut the light off and go back about your way. And you forget what you saw and do nothing about it. John is saying something similar. Step into the light. Step into the truth of God's word and let it be true and everyone else be a liar. God's word holds the answer. Psalm 119 says this, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God is trying to remind the believer we need not stumble about in darkness, tripping over everything in this life. He said, "I've given a spotlight for you." Psalm 19 says this. You heard it Tuesday night in the kids' song. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The word of God holds the answers. When I will pull up to the word of God like those at Thessalonica and say, "I'm going to receive what I read, what I hear, what I take in for what it is." It is the word of God. It is not a secondary opinion. It is not man's idea. It's not just a suggestion. It is the beginning and the finish. It is our final authority for all we do. The word of God. He said, "I just want God to speak to me. If the heavens spoke, then I'd do something. If like God said Noah, or God called down Samuel, then I would see what needs to fix. I would see what needs to change. I would have clear direction." Peter takes care of that in 2 Peter chapter 1. When he talks about the audible voice from heaven and then says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, "We have a more sure word than if a voice spoke out of the heavens." Says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." He said, "I want to take this journey into light and find healing in my relationships between me and God, me and myself, me and other people. I want to see my sin, my suffering, and my standing like God does. Then let's identify the light for what it is. It's the Word of God. It's truth." And he says, you better pull up to the Word of God, to the Scriptures. And when you go through the Scriptures, you're reading it or hearing it or someone's teaching it or preaching it. He said, when you see God in the Scriptures, you see yourself in the Scriptures, you see others in light of the Scriptures, confess, agree with what is manifested, or choose to go back into darkness. When it comes to truth or the light, it matters not what I think. Doesn't matter what somebody else says, we must come to this realization. What does the Bible reveal? What does the light reveal? Bring to light. We might think, "Well, I think God is unfair." What does the light say? "Well, I think I'm not that bad. I'm pretty okay." What does the light show? "Well, I think others are the reason. Others are to blame." What does the light show? John says God's word, truth, the light, holds the key to unlock fullness of joy, to unlock our freedom over sin, and unlock the growth of our faith through the Word of God. It's got to be, and I know it's elementary, but it's something we've got to come to this conclusion that when anything or anyone in my life conflicts with the Word of God, I agree with God. It does not matter what my mind says, what my heart says, what another says, what this philosophy says, what the world says, what the education system say. If anything conflicts with the light, I choose the light. And oftentimes it's uncomfortable. to step into the light. It's uncomfortable to take the spotlight and let it point directly at myself, because oftentimes the light challenges tradition. The way we were brought up, our education, our background, our lenses of our own experiences, the standard thinking that we live by, the Word of God might challenge that. Now, we could be honest, we're living in a day when all that people want to hear is positive things. They're offended by everything. And I'll reword that a little bit. We want to hear only positive things when it comes to God or the preacher. Say, we as a society, we as a world, we as believers, we as a nation, we as individuals. We say, I want to hear only that which is positive and uplifting from God and the Word of God and the man of God, because we're very okay with negative, as long as it's coming from the media or anywhere else. And then we as a nation, we as a world, we thrive on pumping fear and darkness into our minds. Like, oh, we had a good Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming and things are looking up. Let's announce a new strain of the Wuhan virus. Not saying go around sniffing toilets and licking doorknobs is probably not a good idea. It's flu season. Not saying the Wuhan virus is the flu, but it is a virus. Not saying it hasn't killed a lot of people, it has. But all we see from activists called news anchors is darkness and death and disease and despondency, and they're breaking people down to live by fear. We're okay with that, but then as a world we say, oh, I don't want nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with the man of God or the Word of God. It's all negative. We've got to take heed that we don't approach the light in that mindset, that I only want positive. Paul warned a young man named Timothy those days were going to come. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He said, the day's coming, Timothy, and you better be ready for it. They're going to take a poll. They're going to look at the applications and the criteria, the qualifications of a preacher according to what their appetite is. Well, this is how I want to live. This is what I want to be. This is what I've always wanted to do. So I'm going to go find a Bible version, or I'm going to go find a preacher, or go find a church that agrees with what I have already decided to do. If you want that church, it's about 5 miles down the road on the left. I haven't been there, but I know a lot of people that are, including former members and staff members of this church, but that's not for today. But it says this in 2 Timothy 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. And Paul tells Timothy, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And all we're trying to show ourselves, if I'll take this journey into the light, stop walking in the shadows, in the darkness, in the deceit of life, that everything is fine if I know something's not right between me and God, that I'm harboring some sort of a hatred or an anger or resentment towards God, or if I'm harboring some darkness or hatred or anger towards myself or towards other people, that we diagnose that according to the light of God's Word. Because when I can get my relationship with God where it needs to be, and my relationship with myself where it needs to be, there'll be a better chance for the other relationships in life. There'll still be a lot of them that go sour. You can't control the only other person. You only control yourself. But when I live in darkness, and am deceived about God or myself, the other relationships don't stand a chance. At best, you're going to be stumbling around in darkness, tripping over things in life. We gave three categories of this last week and want to break them down into 3 weeks probably. And today, just look at the first one. We said we must agree with God, step into the light and agree with what is there, agree with God about our sin, about our suffering, and about our standing before God. And we went over those briefly last week, and I'd like to break those down. In 1 John chapter number 1, if you look down there to verse number 8, or really verse number 6, and we'll just look at this first category today. I must agree with God about my sin. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We must agree with God about our sin. Instead of denying the sinfulness of our own flesh and heart, we ought to confess that it's a real problem and an ugly one. John knew some of the heresies he was combating. He's going to talk about Antichrist later in the book. False teachers that had come onto the scene, one of them being promoters of Gnosticism and other false teachings. But they had this teaching in their day that spirits were good, basically, and physical matter was bad. So that their body was an evil thing, their body was bad, but their spirit was good. And because of that, well, I am this spiritual person, and it's my flesh, it's my body that is bad, so I am not to blame for that. So they were allowing themselves to do all kinds of wicked, vile things, acts of the body, sensual things, and then saying, but it's not me, that's my body, because matter is bad and spirits are good. And try to wrap your mind around it. He was living in a day where people were looking for any reason or excuse to justify doing what they wanted to do. He said, you got to stop and stop. You got to stop this mentality of, I don't have any sin. That, you can't blame me for that. My body did it, and matter is bad. That's not me. John said, you can't keep living in this mentality of, I have no sin. He said, if you're going to stand there and say, I have no sin, there's nothing wrong with what I think, say, or do, somebody's lying. You or God. Because he already said in Romans chapter 3 and in a whole section of the scriptures called the Old Testament, called the law, that all man is guilty before God. And the temptation of today, especially because the world out there, it's so foreign to them now to hear anything negative from the scriptures or anything negative about mankind. We want to think very positively about ourselves. Is the world, the dangers, we want to think that we are good people who occasionally do bad things. It's not what the scriptures say. You say, well, he's not a bad boy. He just did a bad thing. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be anything good about any of us. In our flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. For example, somebody goes out and steals a car. That doesn't make him a car thief. Because he stole a car. He went out and stole a car because he was already a thief. It was already in his heart to do such a thing, or he would have never done it. You say, what are you saying? We go out and sin, hence we are now sinners? No, we are sinners by birth, and we sin because we are already sinners. Someone goes out and says, oh, he stole a car, let's label him as a car thief. He was already a thief in his heart, and he went out and did it.
Good.
Luke chapter 6 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And then Christ said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Just trying to show us again in just a better light this week of part number one of these categories, that if we are living in violation to the light, in violation to the truth, or we are avoiding the light, walking in darkness, we are doing so at the expense of fellowship with Christ. Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And when I say, I know what the light shows, I know what the light reveals, but I can justify these areas, it's not that bad, especially compared to a lot of other really dark things in this world, and I live in known violations of the Word of God, or I just stop and I draw back from the Word of God and I don't read it, don't study it, don't hear it, don't heed it because I don't want to know. We are living out of fellowship with Christ. And we wonder why there's no fullness of joy, no freedom over sin, and no faith in eternal life. We are like blind men in darkness, deceiving ourselves. And I keep saying it, but it's the delusion of sin, the darkness, the deception of sin, for someone to think, well, not that bad. It's not my fault. The devil made me do it. I can live in dark and still fellowship with the light. That's delusional. That's what John is saying. And I know he's using some harsh words here, it seems. Light, dark, love, hatred, liar, deception. It's harsh. He said, John, tone it down a little bit. He says, no, we need some tough soldiers of Jesus Christ who are prepared to stand. Then let's use some tough language here by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and get them ready. And it's why I'm, you understand moving and all that and holidays, and I'm pulled a lot of different directions right now anyway, so I'm cranky all day. That's why I'm so passionate about this, because I see where we are and where this nation is headed if the Lord doesn't return soon. Other nations have turned like we are, and it did not take 5, 10, 15, 20 years to get ready. It happened overnight. What we just saw over the last year and a half was a dry run of the bow of communism coming for our world and for our land. But ultimately what is coming is not the spirit of communism, but the spirit of the Antichrist. And we must be ready. I texted with Pastor Brandon Pelkey this morning. He usually sends me a text on Sunday morning. And I texted him back, praying for you, appreciate you. And I just did a little phrase on, having done all to stand, let's stand. Because we know the darkness that is coming. Is Austria, the country of Austria now, is locked down. If you're not vaccinated, you're not allowed in public. Other nations, if it's New Zealand or Australia, somewhere, that if you go in and you test positive, you're taken straight from that office to a confinement camp until you test negative. Come on, these activists and these agendas that are at work, it is not flesh and blood, it is light versus dark. It is the spirit of Christ versus the spirit of the Antichrist. And it could be 2021 or 2022, which is right around the corner, where we get fined or jailed or taken off the scene for standing for light. What I'm saying is we better be ready to stand. I'm trying to militantly prepare us that if the dark day is upon us, the only way we stand is if we are real. If I know I'm living in the dark, I'm playing around with sin, I'm doing things contrary to the Word of God, and there's no real joy, it's just fake. There's no freedom over sin. It's just pretend. There's no faith in the eternal life God has given me, but doubt. We're not going to stand when the pressure gets turned up. When there's a huge cost that comes, and it's not just political or peer pressure, but it is your livelihood or your life itself. Why would I stand when I know my joy is fake? When I have no faith.
Amen.
I have no freedom. Galatians 6 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We've got to stop living our lives planting seeds of the flesh, or we're never going to reap fruits of the Spirit. This all started about a year ago. This whole year's theme has basically been have faith in God. With that text where Jesus went by the fig tree and it was out of season. So you shouldn't expect figs except for it was in full bloom. Leaves. From a distance it looked productive, it looked promising, till the Lord Jesus pulled up alongside and says, there's no fruit here. Cursed be this tree. And it shocked the disciples how fast it dried up from the roots. Saying we can look so promising and so productive from a distance without there being any figs to be found. If we keep planting fleshly seeds in darkness, we'll never reap spiritual fruits in the light. Seeds. The small things. The small thoughts. If you go to chapter number 2, 1 John chapter 2, he kind of zooms in. He focuses that flashlight, that spotlight, zooms it all the way in and gives some details here in verse number 15. These words, light and darkness, love and hate. And I get it. The day in which we live and the way society is going, these messages, as uncomfortable as they are already in an average Baptist church on a Sunday morning, are not going to be tolerated well in society. It is polar opposite of the direction the world is going. It is a stark difference. It's almost as if God said, I'm looking for a peculiar people. That you were in the
kingdom of darkness. I translated you into the kingdom of light. Walk and live as if you're in the light. That there is no cohabiting. There is no coexisting. There is no live and let live when it comes to light and darkness.
If you look at verse number 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. I wrote that phrase down a few times over the last couple of days. For all that is in the world. For all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All that is in the world is not of the Father. It's one side or the other. One team or the other. One kingdom or the other. One master or the other. All that is in the world is not of the Father. He says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We got to stop and check our appetites, our attractions, and our aspirations. What is it I have an appetite, a lust for? What is it that attracts my attention? What is it I aspire or I pride myself to be? It's the same battle plan since the Garden of Eden. When Satan came in and told Eve, look at the fruit. Look at what's being held back from you. If you do this, you could be as a God yourself. And it's what he's still using for a battle plan today. We must agree with Paul in his passages. Christ, when he spoke, John in this book, with this idea that we are at war. Not right versus left, Democrat versus Republican. As far as I'm concerned, they're all a bunch of compromised, corrupt individuals. This war is the flesh versus the spirit. It is not an aisle with two parties, one on either side. Oh, that is how it is acted out in the political scene. This fight is contained within our very bodies, where the flesh is battling the Spirit of God. And this war goes back and forth. And the things that I should do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, last night I did it again. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am.
Amen.
The two can't get along. And the two will never get along. The flesh and the spirit. We are in darkness. We are deceiving ourselves if we think we can serve both. Someone said this, to choose gravel over diamonds, one must be blind. If I have two kingdoms and two masters, two lives to pick from, and I choose gravel, dirt over diamonds, I must be blind. The mark of the saint is not sinlessness, but sin consciousness. Here, there, 1 John chapter 2, just about wrapped up here. He says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Again, what I said, the mark of a saint is not sinlessness, but sin consciousness. As we go through this book, we'll define some of these terms. Because people will use one verse here, one passage there, and twist the scriptures to say that if you struggle with sin at all, that you were never saved or you've lost your salvation. That's not what the scriptures say. We ought to be very conscious of our sin and the power that the light has to reveal sin and to cleanse us from sin. Christ came not merely to cover sin, but to conquer sin. The idea here in scripture, these things are write I unto you that ye sin not, as if we'll step into the light and agree, confess with God about what is manifested. There is cleansing from sin. Sin doesn't have to dominate us. It doesn't have to control us. It doesn't have to dictate everything we do. We don't have to live by the appetites of our flesh. We can walk in the Spirit. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to cover your sin, to give you one more white wall. I came to conquer sin. I came not only to justify the sinner, but to sanctify the saint. Not only to acquit the guilty, but to regenerate the believer.
The blood cleanses and
It not only covers, but it conquers sin. And we are walking, or we walk into the light when we hate sin. Not when we tolerate, we just kind of let it do its thing. We dabble a little bit, but it's not that bad. When we hate the darkness and the sin in our flesh. The word in Job is the word eschewed evil. It's to flee from something, to shun it altogether. When I hate the sin in my flesh, when I will name it for the wicked, vile thing that it is, agree with God about it, and turn from it. And I know the Baptists for the last 50, 60, 70 years have got away from the doctrine of repentance to our shame. But repentance is for the saved man too. To realize I'm headed this way and I'm doing things contrary to the will of God and the Word of God. I'm not fellowshipping with the light because I'm letting myself walk in darkness. I better repent. I better change my mind about this and head back the other direction.
Amen.
One of the great signs of maturity in Christ is a deep abiding brokenness over sin. Somebody said it this way: our great joy is that our sin is forgiven in Christ. Our great grief is so much of this very sin still remains in our flesh. Let's just end with 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Here's the positive. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The light doesn't just reveal, it heals. And God said, if you'll agree with me about how dark and desperate and how wicked sin is, not excusing it, not defending it, not justifying it, not comparing it, but agree with me about what it is. The light doesn't just reveal sin, it heals sin. He said, I can do spiritual surgery once the light is revealing it. Once we can see what is there, God said, the Spirit of God can illuminate, the Word of God can show what needs to happen. What needs to be healed. Denying our sin is part of what it means to walk in darkness. Confessing is part of what it means to walk in the light. Many of you do this, I'm sure. But we ought to keep short accounts with God.
Amen.
We ought to be checking in with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, regularly. Probably many times a day. You say something, think something, do something that is in one kingdom or the other. And if it lends to the kingdom of darkness, is to immediately and quickly go to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and say, I'm agreeing, that is wrong, that is sin, that is darkness. I confess that, God, forgive me. If we don't do it immediately, we ought to at least do it daily. Come to the end of the day and reflect back over and say, Lord, I said this, I thought this, I did it, I blew it. God, I agree with that. Cleanse me, forgive me. I dare say for the average believer in the world today, it may have been months since we've done this. Shortless. And if you're anything like me, you could do it hourly and not have enough time. You say the thoughts, the appetites, the attractions, the aspirations of pride in my heart within an hour. And go to the Scriptures. Go to the Spirit of God. The temptation is to give in to the darkness. Say, what do you mean? You say something to somebody that's wrong or in the wrong spirit. You think something, you watch something, you read something, you do something. You go somewhere and then you know how it is. You feel so miserable and dirty and unclean. And I blew it again and sin won again this time. So I don't want to go to the light. I don't want to step in, into the light and read my Bible and pray because that would make me a hypocrite. No, that makes you a struggling Christian.
That there's a fight between the two. And if you live by this, well, because I blew it here, I'm going to skip the Bible reading and the prayer, and I'm going to skip the fellowship of Christ, because, man, that would be hypocritical, or it'd be so uncomfortable to immediately blow it and then to come confess it and try to pretend like everything's fine. And what we're doing is we're further sealing ourselves in darkness, building and establishing strongholds for the enemy. We've got to confess this. We've got to keep this sin list short with Christ.
He said, that'll be doing it every day, every hour. Do it every day and every hour then. He said, I have a problem with the tongue. Me too. He said, Lord, I blew it again. I said some things I shouldn't have said. Said them the things I shouldn't have, ways I shouldn't have said them. Lord, help me for that. God, forgive me of it. Cleanse that from me. I yield my tongue, my member to you. I'm yielding it to righteousness. God, help me with this. There's no way that if we do that regularly and often, that over time, we don't see some supernatural help with our tongues. I'm just saying, that's one example. It all boils down to, I guess, what we've been talking about for a few weeks. We go to the Scriptures, hopefully daily, many times a day if you can, led by the Spirit of God, with this verse from the Psalms, open the eyes of my heart. That when I'm in prayer, when I'm in the Word of God, when I'm fellowshipping with Christ, I say, God, open my eyes. Help me to see you. Help me to see myself. Help me to see others as you do. It's not all negative and downtrodden. And man, we're just so wicked. It is a matter of stepping into the light and allowing it to make manifest what is there, and then agreeing with God about what is shown, and letting supernatural cleansing and changing taking place when I agree with God about my sin. Lord willing, next week we'll look at a little more in depth, agreeing with God about our suffering.